come to the place, to the one who raised from the dead. Oh, come and see the risen King.
Hello, this is Misty Reese, and I would like to welcome you this day as I share with you the things of the kingdom of God. It is my hope that in sharing, you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing, you find life through the name of Jesus. Hello, this is Misty Reese, coming to you once again with Water of Life Church in Plano, Texas, and I would like to welcome you back this week. I come to you today declaring unto you again the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That gospel we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The Apostle Paul tells us also to remain in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. That gospel which was preached unto us, and that gospel which we have heard. He tells us that in Colossians. We know also that gospel, that death, burial, and resurrection, that it is the power of God unto our salvation when we believe. Romans 1:16 tells us that we are not to be ashamed of that. We are not to be afraid to trust in believing that gospel. And that's what I share with you each week. I share with you that gospel. I share with you about the Lord Jesus. And I share how that gospel has worked in my life. So I come to you today to declare that same gospel to you and share about that same Jesus. I would like to get started in Philippians chapter 2. And this is a scripture I've shared many times before, but I've been meditating on it myself this week and considering it and just applying some more of the gospel to my life where I can. So I would like to start in verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You know, that tells us right there that Jesus, who was God, he emptied himself of all his godly privilege. And look what it says. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus became just like you and me. He became born of a woman and looked just like you and me. He was a man, and he still is a man, and I'll get to that later. But I want you to consider that he was a man. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And we know that that name is Jesus. Jesus emptied himself of all his godly privilege and came to this earth and became a man. You know, that was something growing up I did not know. And I'll just be honest. I didn't know. I'd heard God, I'd heard about Jesus, but I didn't understand or have a revelation of that they are two separate things. God, the Father, And then you have Jesus, who emptied himself and became as a man. That Jesus is still a man today, and that is who we are to believe on. That is who, through believing, we have access to the Father in heaven. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. And this goes right along with Jesus being a man. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, and this is referring to Jesus, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He became flesh and blood, just like you and I, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. We know when Jesus rose from the dead, he overcame death. He came out victorious. Verse 15, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. It became necessary for him to be like unto us, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That is for us to make reconciliation for our sins. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Jesus had to become a man so he could be made just like us and know what it was like to be us, to go to the cross, to take on all those things that we would take on our own bodies, to take on those things, to die, to be buried and raised again, to overcome those and overcome death, so that we, through believing that gospel, that we, through believing on the Lord Jesus, could also overcome those things in our lives, those things that the devil puts out there that tries to attack us with. Jesus has already overcome all that. Do you see that? Jesus has already overcome all that. He became like us to overcome all that, that we, through believing on him, have that same ability to overcome those very same things. That is an encouragement. I want to look at Isaiah 53. And this is Jesus on the cross. Actually, I want to start in chapter 52 of Isaiah, verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. You know, I have a friend, and every time she talks about the Lord Jesus, she often reminds us all that that picture that we see hanging in churches or wherever you may see it, and you know the picture I'm talking about, the picture of Jesus on the cross, whatever depiction that there is of him, she often reminds us that that is not a real depiction. And she'll say, get that out of your head. Don't even think about that. Let's look at the Word of God. And I've been considering that this week, and I share that with you today, because when we look at these things, we realize that that is not what he looked like. That is a false depiction of the Lord Jesus on the cross, because it says his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. You know, we all have a form because we're men and women. We have a form. Our body has a form. Jesus, it says, and we just read that he was a man. He looked just like you and I did. That his form was so marred. His body on that cross was not even a body. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which hath not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Look at chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up as a tender plant, and as out of a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty. There is no beauty that we should desire him. Have you ever seen something that was so grotesque that it hurt your heart to look at? Or you just knew you couldn't look at it? It was too much for your eyes to look at. Well, I've seen things like that. I'll tell you, sometimes there's stuff that rolls through on my Facebook and I can't look at it because it's too much. It's the same thing with here. There was no beauty that we should desire him. A body up there that was so marred. There was no beauty to it. He is despised and rejected of men. Despised and rejected. Have you ever been despised of someone? Have you ever been rejected by someone? Do you know when Jesus went to the cross for you, that's what he also took on his body, being despised. He took on his body being rejected because he was a man and he knew that those things would come up in our lives, and he knew he had to take them on his body so that you and I could believe on him and not care about that despisement, to not feel that despisement because we believed on Jesus, to not believe or feel that rejection because we believed on Jesus. We could overcome it because he has overcome it. A man of sorrows. Have you ever had sorrows? Jesus took them on. And acquainted with grief. Have you ever had grief? Are you grieving now? Do you know Jesus went to the cross for you and I, for those griefs that would try to overwhelm us, that we, through believing on him, could overcome those griefs and not hurt? And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, he hath borne our griefs. Surely he hath borne our griefs. There it is again. Our griefs, our sicknesses. He bore them. He took them on his body. When he took those on his body, that's why there was no form or comeliness. That's why there was no beauty that we would desire him. He had all the griefs, all the sicknesses of every single person, and carried our sorrow, carried our pain. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He, being a man, took them on his body for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. Our perversities, those things, once again, in our lives, took them on his body. The chastisement of our peace. You know, that word peace, if you look it up, there in Strong's, there's lots of meaning for that. And you know, I would always hear that our prosperity was also what Jesus went to the cross for. I'd heard sicknesses and I'd heard our pains, but also I had heard that Jesus going to the cross took on our prosperity. He made us rich. And you know, I never could get a hold of that because I wasn't sure where that said that at. Well, you know what? Right here, when you look at that word peace, that's where chastisement, the instruction, the correction of our peace. Well, that word peace means peace. But if you also look that word up, you're going to find that that word means for our welfare, that word means for our prosperity, that word means for our health, that word means for peace. So right there it is. Jesus also for our health and for our sicknesses. He took all those things on his body so that we could walk in health, so that we could walk in not being sad, that we could walk in not feeling rejected, that we could walk in all those things. But also, he took it on so that we could walk in prosperity. You know, Jesus was not some weak man walking around pitiful. Jesus was not pitiful. And sometimes, I know for myself, that has been the depiction that I've gotten through false things that I see or false things that people have portrayed Jesus as. No, Jesus was a strong man, a man who believed God, a man who walked in the power of God. He was not a weak man. You know, there's a good example of him walking in the power of God. There's a good example of him being strong and stern and wasn't going to let you get by with anything. But it talks of in the scriptures how he walked in and there were people I believe they were called money changers, but they were in there making merchandise off of the things of God. And he walked in there, he made a scourge of cords, and he walked in there and he turned over the tables. Jesus was not a weak man. You know, that's one thing I'll say about this ministry. The head person of this ministry, Doyle, he was a veterinarian. He was a veterinarian and made very good money. Had all the, he calls them toys, all the things that he could enjoy in life. And you know what? God required him in 1969 to begin laying all that down. He had a veterinarian practice that made money. It was his own practice. He did very well for himself. But in 1958, when he was on the campus of Missouri, the Spirit of God fell upon him, and he has shared about how it scared him so bad because he knew something had happened and told him he didn't want him to be a veterinarian. But in his rebellion, he went ahead and went on through veterinarian school and became a veterinarian. Well, you know what? That Spirit of God would not quit talking to him and kept talking to him about what he wanted him to do. And like I said, in 1969, that was something God required him to do. You know, God wasn't like, well, it's okay. Or Jesus wasn't like, well, it's okay. I know you're doing well for yourself. You know, Jesus will require us to lay down our lives. That's what he requires all of us to do. Now, some of us are in the process of doing that. And some of us who are fighting everything we can fight to keep from doing it. But as I've shared before, I think I shared this last week, Jesus said, I haven't lost those that God has given me. And they may think they're out doing their own thing, but God will get a hold of you and God will bring you to the place where he will make you cry out to him and he will make you cry out to the Lord Jesus. Well, God had Doyle in a place where Doyle knew he had to obey God, and that's what he did. And he laid down his life and sold all those things and got rid of all those things at the direction of God to walk in the things of God, to walk in the power of God, to obey the Lord Jesus. But that's some of what I'm saying, that Jesus will require things of our lives. Jesus is merciful and gracious and long-suffering, but he also is a stern man. In a place, it calls him an austere man. And there are things that he requires of us, and there are things that he doesn't want you to do. Like he walked in and he whipped them with the scourge of cords. They were doing something he did not want them to do. They were doing something that was not what God had directed them to do. And he knew it and he corrected it. And we are no different. Let's go back to verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Jesus, being made just like us, went to the cross, took on those things on his body, became marred more than any man. I want to turn over really quickly to Matthew. We're kind of just flowing along today and seeing what the Lord would talk about. And I knew it was going to be one of those days where I didn't know what might come out of my mouth. Let's look at Matthew 27. Hold your place in Isaiah because we might come back to that. And this is Jesus on the cross. Just some more of us getting our eyes on the words and the things that Jesus went through on that cross. What he took on his body, being a man, for you and I, so that we, through believing him, that we, through believing his death on this cross, his burial, and his resurrection, that we, through believing that gospel, that we might overcome and walk in the things that he has for us, that we might walk in the things of the kingdom of God. What Jesus did for us was for a purpose. It was for a purpose that we might believe it, not just hear it every Sunday, or hear it every Wednesday, or hear it whenever, but believe it. Believe it. Get it in your heart and know that's what that man went for me. I'm believing it and I'm taking it and I'm walking in it because it's for me. 26 in chapter 27. Then released Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. I'm going to verse 28. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him. In Isaiah, in verse 3, it says he was despised, he was rejected. That man Jesus, for you and for me, was hanging up in front of the whole world to see. Stripped, beaten, mocked, despised. They were saying to him, if you be the Son of God. How many times have people said things to us in the course of our lives, and we are so determined to prove them wrong, so determined, and say, no, we're not, that's not true. You know, Jesus being up there could only speak the words of God. And if they were mocking him and saying things and spitting on him, there were times he kept his mouth shut. There were times he spoke by the Spirit of God. And he could not come down off that cross until he'd gone through dying, going to hell, and raising again. He couldn't come off that cross, because it was not time yet. And that's what I'm saying. How many times when people do things to us, do we stop and consider, is God going to have us address this, or do we just keep our mouth shut until God addresses it? Well, I'll tell you what our flesh wants to do. Our flesh wants to say, no, we're not. Let me prove you wrong. Let me say this so you know. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus obeyed the will of God, and he went through it, and he stayed up there for us when everyone was saying all these things to him. I'm going back to 29. And they plaited a crown of thorns, and they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and they took the reed, and they smote him on the head. And after that, they mocked him, and they took the robe from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to be crucified. You know, at times, he had to be naked there. They're taking the robe off, putting the robe on, doing all these different things. Naked, marred more than any man, despised, rejected, mocked, spit upon. Why? Go back to 53. So that he could bear our sicknesses, our griefs. So that he could carry our pains and our sorrows. So that he could be wounded for our transgressions. So that he could be bruised for our perversities. So that the chastisement of our peace would be upon him. So that we could, through believing what he did, through believing those things that I've shared with you today, the death that Jesus died, through believing that he took those things on his body, that he was marred more than any man, that there was no beauty that we would want to look upon him. He did all those things for you and I so that he could die a death, die, and so that he could be buried, so that he could raise again the third day victorious over all those things, over every single one of them. You know, I want to flip back to Hebrews once again. Hebrews 2, verse 14. I want to read this once again. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all lifetimes subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. My friends, I tell you today to believe on the Lord Jesus. To believe that what he did for you was for a purpose. It was for you and I that we might, through believing on the Lord Jesus, that we might, through believing his death, his burial, but importantly, his resurrection, because when he rose from the dead, he overcame all those things. He put the devil under his feet. When he did that, guess who became under our feet? The devil, when we believe on Jesus, when we believe the gospel. He put those principalities, those powers, all those things, those sicknesses, those perversities, those sins, all those things, he put underneath them. He overcame them. Why? So that we could overcome them. So we could walk in victory. When we do what? When we believe on the Lord Jesus. When we believe that gospel. There is a purpose in believing that gospel. There is a reason why Jesus did that for you and I. And it's available to us to believe every single day that we might overcome all those hindering influences every day that try to move us, that try to move us away from the gospel. And as Paul said, remain in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. I would like to share this next song with you, and it is called At Calvary, and it is by some of the music ministers here at Water of Life Church. And this is Terry with her family, the Browns, along with Paul Peters. Oh. Thank you for joining me today. I would love to hear from you. You may email me at mistyreesewateroflife@gmail.com. That's MISTYREESE, wateroflife@gmail.com. Or you may write to me at Misty Reese, care of Water of Life Church, P.O. Box 861327, Plano, Texas, 75086.